Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We were joined today by Danny Kelly, as always, as we looked at every game so far in the Premier League. We also spoke to Mike Ward, Brighton Hove Albion, supporting Daily Star TV preview, as he is these days. And we had some clips of the week, Pewter, going back, we think the earliest, March 2003.
Very early.
Very young sounding, youthful Alan Brazil. Mad Mike Parry, although that didn't change over the years.
No, nothing
really,
changed there. And we had a chat.
We had a chat, of course we did. Here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy. How are you feeling?
What?
Game day. It's game day, Andy.
No, we'll come on to that later.
Okay.
You can't make a case for Chelsea in this game.
Oh, you can.
In any shape or form.
You can.
You can't. You're only saying that because you're always nervous before a game. You cannot make a case for Chelsea in this game. One team's flying high at the top of the league. They haven't lost the game.
Yeah.
The other team basically got no goals in them whatsoever. And are a team in progress. I mean, this time next year, if they play each other, it might be a different thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, when teams have come out and gone toe-to-toe with you, you've looked good against them. You did against Arsenal.
Yeah, we still didn't win the game. We're not ready to win those games yet. We're not there yet. So I'm not even, that bothered about it. I'll watch the first half if we're losing.
You're going to go to the pictures? Is there nothing on?
I'm not going to go to the pitch. I'll start watching the game. I think it'll be a good game.
Yeah.
Look, it could be 3-2 or something like that. But I don't think Chelsea will win the game. But we'll wait and see. Who knows?
You never know.
It was very interesting at Brentford on Saturday. I did get a bit of stick, actually. I mean, sort of get it.
You did go in sort of two-footed last week on a team where you go and watch them play.
Yeah, so. No, I understand that. And, and it was a brilliant game. I really enjoyed the game. And I was pleased that Brentford won the game, because at 2-1, I was thinking I'm going to need an escort out of this ground. But 1-0, especially saying, "Oi, Jacobs, how about that goal? Do you enjoy that goal, Jacobs? Do you enjoy that goal?" Like about five or six times.
Yeah.
I didn't bother to look around. And when he was
less. Wasn't Thomas Frank, was it?
No. He was less he was less voluble at 2-1 when West Ham went 2-1 up.
Oh.
And at 3-2, I think he was so happy.
Should have turned around and said, "Oi, mate. Mate, did you enjoy that goal?"
It's amazing, though. The official club Twitter had a go at me when they said, tedious, they said. Tedious scoring three at home.
Yeah.
But, I just made the point to my mate that I like football when both teams go for it. I always think it's a better game when both teams go. I understand.
Sometimes you've got to do what you've got to do, though, as a team.
I know enough about it. And if Chelsea went, they're not going to, but if they went to Spurs tonight, played a low block and nicked a 1-0, of course I'd be delighted.
Yeah.
But that's
you can't have your cake and eat it.
That's the hypocrisy of football. Supporting.
Well, that's a perfect get out. I'm a hypocrite and I know it.
Absolutely. You put your head above the parapet, you're going to get shot at. I did get shot at, and fair enough, It was definitely a frosty reception for me.
But I've got to be honest, I wasn't altogether surprised. I thought it might be.
I wasn't surprised.
You did say if everybody played football like Brentford,
don't reiterate it. Don't make it worse. So you love it.
You did say that last week.
I was obviously upset about the fact that my team couldn't break Brentford down. Yeah. I don't blame Brentford. It was a great victory. So, well done to them. And well done on Saturday. I really enjoyed the game. I thought it was tremendous.
Okay, well, good.
So, good. And that's the way it goes. So
it is. That's very much the way it goes.
Fine, isn't it? And an interesting letter in the... Oh, no, actually, I've got this note, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Howard Webb's got Gary O'Neill on speed dial.
Yeah, I was thinking that. If you look on your favourites, has he put him in his favourites in his phone? I think he probably has.
There's
now,
no point even... Howard, don't even bother to ring him.
No.
There's no point because he's sick of your apologies.
You're actually making it worse. Send him like a WhatsApp. Do you know that emoji where you've got your hands out and you're shrugging? That one.
Yeah.
Just say, Gaz, mate, and that, and the shrugging
emoji.
Send
him a nice, hamper from Fortnum's,
That'd be, catching his throat.
I think that'll make any difference.
To be sawn off 2 weeks running by the same penalty when the panel have looked at the first penalty that was against
you
and said it was a VAR mistake. And then to sit there with the ref and the ref says, well, I feel there was enough contact there. And you think, well, mate, if that's a penalty, then we might as well all
pack
up and
go. This is why you need independent people doing this, because they all stick together. They never criticise each other. And it's chronic.
Too much of a backside
covering operation. I'm not an Arsenal fan by any shape or...
Really?
No. But you have to say that was never a goal. Never. I mean, if that's not a foul...
It's the push, isn't it?
Of course
it's we're going to come on. We're going to talk to Danny about it. But I'm with you. I mean, the other two you can take or leave, But it's definitely... I mean, I watched it. And as much as I'm a Tottenham fan, I'd love to see Arsenal sawn off. But I'm watching it and think, oh, come on. That's definitely two hands in his back.
It was ludicrous. But Arteta definitely deflecting. Because if you look at their last three away performances... 2-2 at Chelsea, where they were extremely fortunate to get a point. Lost 3-0 at West Ham, where they played really poorly. And did nothing at Newcastle, really. Didn't really threaten Newcastle. And Havertz should have been sent off. I know Gumerich should have been sent off, but Havertz should definitely have been sent off.
We're going to have a good deep dive into the VAR this weekend. There's quite a few contentious decisions. It's just every week, it's just carnage. And it seems to get worse. For Howard Webb and his officials. So we'll be chatting to Dale Johnson, Mr. VAR from ESPN, a little bit. He's done his weekly roundup. A couple of things to get going on. Poor old... sometimes in a second language, it's difficult. And, of course, Maurizio Pochettino goes back to Spurs tonight, and they were asking him whether he thought he might go to the wrong dugout. And they were asking him about this old Ron Atkinson clip.
Famous
old clip when he did it. So they said, have you ever seen the Ron Atkinson clip where he goes to the wrong dugout? And he said, oh, Mr. Bean, you mean? He went, no, Ron Atkinson. It's easy done. Somebody says,
Ron Rowan.
Very easy done. Yeah. And he says, oh, you mean Mr. Bean, the actor, Ron Atkinson, the manager? He says, no, the old manager. What, here? He says, it was like a who's on first.
Yeah.
No, Aston Villa, Manchester United and Forest. And he says, oh, okay, I was thinking of the actor. Who is the actor? Yes, it was Rowan Atkinson. You did nothing wrong. But now and again, often it's your old nan, isn't it, who just gets the name of someone wrong. And you think, well, it's the Ron Atkinson, Rowan Atkinson situation, as Glenn would call it. We'd like some more of those this afternoon where...
Ryan Gibbs.
It's not so much that, but it's not pronouncing the name wrong. It's like just thinking of the wrong person. So if you can give us some of those, that would be great. TalkSport.com/H&J. Text to 81089 or tweet to TSH&J.
The question to Poch, though, in the press conference, and they've all got headlines out of it, so that's... He had absolutely no way he could answer the question without it making a headline.
What was the question?
The question, basically, would you ever see yourself back at Spurs?
Yeah.
It's a completely impossible question for him to answer.
Yeah.
If he says no, then they'll say... Poch hates Spurs, he's never going to go back there.
Yeah.
If he says yes, oh, Poch angling for a return to Tottenham. It's pathetic. Honestly.
Yeah, he's been put in a difficult position this week. But hopefully, I hope he doesn't get the bird tonight. He certainly won't get it from me. I've got very happy memories of what he did there. And I don't think he's going to be sliding on his knees down the touchline.
That's not his style. I don't think it'll happen, so I don't think you need to worry about
it.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Time then to take a look back on all the Premier League games so far this weekend in the company of our very own Danny Kelly. Good afternoon, Danny.
Hi, chaps. Just looking at people who can watch this on the screen, we're all wearing very dark shirts, like as a uniform for the show now, isn't there?
Yeah.
Because often they're quite colourful, but we're navy and black. Very, very good.
Yes, for VAR, isn't it? We're in mourning for VAR.
No, but we should... Andy, I get it, but that's too passive. Sooner or later, and maybe Arteta can be our leader, we're going to have to march on... Stockley Park with torches and rakes. This has got to stop.
Well, Iago Aspas has started, isn't he? He smashed up the pitside monitor last night, so he's gone a bit Keith Moon on some of the equipment.
It's driving people mad. It's driving people bonkers.
Yeah, I know it is. We're going to we're going to touch on it, I'm sure, as we go through game by game. So let's kick off then.
You do
with,
win some and you lose some. Yeah. I do feel it even. Sure. It does even itself out. And we,
over the course of a season.
Well, I think it does.
Tell Gary O'Neill.
Gary O'Neill
is due about four or five in his favour.
Wolves are going to win 17-0 one day, aren't they? Yeah.
It is getting to the point where you feel like everybody should stand still and let them run up the other end and score, and the referee should do nothing about it. So anyway, we'll move on. We'll come to that game later on. We'll kick off. By the way, I should just point out, myself and Danny have got sort of natural backgrounds. I'm in the studio. Danny's there at home. Andy likes to mess with his background. And,
lovely.
His background today is a banana souffle.
Yes, delicious.
Why?
Well, initially it was a picture, I think, of a younger Andy playing cricket, which I enjoyed very much indeed.
That was nice, yeah.
Well, so, I think I'm going to have to learn to do this. The truth is, I can't do it, but of course, you know, once I start doing it, that's all I'll do for the whole 45 minutes. Yeah.
Andy tells me you just click on your gallery. Now, I would imagine if you've been in a meeting on something like Zoom or whatever, and, I mean, I'm not Andy, of course, but I bet there's a few of the TalkSport Heartland have got some very sketchy pictures on their phones. So I wonder if any of those have ever popped up in a meeting. If you want to share those with the class, you can.
Don't press the button marked random. I think is the answer there, isn't it?
TalkSport.com, text 81089, tweet TSH.
Ah, now he's changed it. Oh, look, he's become a sort of ice cream man or something, has he?
It's a noodle.
He's going to mess.
Dim sum.
He's going to mess all the time.
Ah, it's dim sum.
Anyway, let's get on. Luton 1, Liverpool 1. Obviously painful for Luton in the way it happened, but
can I just say, normally I would wanted Luton to win this game, but I'm counting on there being four teams worse than Chelsea. So in the end, I was quite pleased Liverpool equalised.
For goodness sake. A good performance by Luton. They just ultimately couldn't sit out.
Let's be honest, got something about them, no question.
Liverpool had their chances, didn't they?
As I've been saying for weeks, I really like Luton. I think because they're true unto themselves, and that's it goes a long way in professional sport. They were excellent. Liverpool, admitted by their own manager, had an off day. And when he brought on Luis Diaz, sometimes the football gods just write these stories. And you know what? His goal and the equaliser is not important in the real world. But last night on Trans Europe Express, we heard from Tim Vickery that there is better, more positive news about his dad. He appears not to have been kidnapped by a particularly extreme bunch of lunatics. Obviously, they're lunatics, but they are at least people you can negotiate with. And there is a great deal of positivity that they will get this fella back safe and in one piece. So I was pleased for Luis Diaz, obviously. And Luton won't be too... I mean, the lateness of the goal is very disappointing for them. But, You can always concede a goal against Liverpool, and if it had been scored after the fourth minute and theirs would be an equaliser, they would say that was an excellent day's work.
Interesting though, isn't it, the low block. For the low block to work, you do need the other team to miss some key chances, and that's what Liverpool did. I mean, Darwin Nunes, great ball from Alexander Arnold, he should have scored there, and then the one at the end where he was ruled offside, but it spared his blushes.
Totally, yeah.
Yeah, he should have scored.
Yeah. And we mentioned for Ross Barkley as well, a player you saw a little bit of,
I always like, in the Sarri season, it was basically he'd start and Kovacic would come on for him, or Kovacic would start and he'd come on for him. That was Sarri's main move. It never really worked. But
he looked good. It's interesting, some of the players they've brought in, like sort of Andros Townsend, etc., are making a bit of a difference.
And Andy Madley, VAR in the highly criticised Newcastle game, then reffing the next day, I'm not sure. He must have had quite a sleepless night over all that. I'm not sure that was a great move, but there we go.
That's very true. We move on then to Nottingham Forest 2, Aston Villa 0. Stan Collymore went along. He told us he was going. He said he wanted to take his Villa flag, but he couldn't really lose on the day. Played for both clubs, but a shock result, Danny, I think it's fair to say. We didn't expect that.
Yeah, I think a shock result that you might have been less horrified. Forest, we keep on saying they're not bad. They've got a way of playing, and they rotate a lot. You're never quite sure what 11 are going to put out. And Aston Villa, they've had a brilliant run. Are they a team who are going to sustain a brilliant run for 20 games, like say a Manchester City? No, sooner or later you're going to stub your toe. And of course, you know, again, I often refer to the football gods. They're the only gods I believe in, truthfully. And yeah, that was a bit Radio 4, wasn't it? What gods do you believe in?
Thought for the day with Danny Kelly.
And of course, the week that Emi Martinez wins the Lev Yashin Award,
yes, the curse of the Ballon Lev Yashin d'Or, Award.
Clearly, he's going to then fire. I mean, he didn't throw it into the net, but I've seen him make that save 100 times and not palm it up into the net. You know.
Yeah. But he's such a master of S-housery, because even though he knew it was a good foot over the line, the way he carried on as if you know, he scooped it out, then he carried on as if he was fully prepared to play
WWE,
on.
WWE, wouldn't he, I think?
Roy Carroll would have been proud of that. Yeah, that's, there's one for the teenagers, but Paul knew what I was talking about.
I knew what you were talking about.
Indeed. Well. Big call, wasn't it, by Steve Cooper, making a changing goal as well. But it worked, didn't it? I mean, again, a lot of managers doing that right now.
Something about his work, isn't there, Cooper? When he's interviewed afterwards, whether they've won or lost, you get the impression that he takes a sort of kind of steely view of these things. He's a good coach, and I suspect that he explains to the players why these rotations are being made, these changes are being made, because you never see anybody in Forest shirt sulking. They all give it their best shot, and I wasn't madly surprised by the result, because I think this has kind of been coming. Villa can't keep on doing what they're doing. They're not quite at that level yet. And Nottingham Forest were going to beat a good team very, very soon, because they're pretty good at home.
It was the Villa nil that caught me. I think that could have been 2-1. It could have been 3-2. I just didn't expect Villa
If Ollie Watkins had scored, it's a big if. But if he had, that would have made the end very interesting.
With the threat they've had recently.
The penalty, not so much Toffolo, but the other fellow, was it Murillo, had his hand right out and he just missed his hand. That would definitely have been a penalty. But, you know, you need a bit of luck.
Oh, Andy, the very idea that something would definitely be a penalty. Nothing's definitely a penalty anymore, including the penalties.
And I know what you mean.
Gary O'Neill, feel free to turn your radio off as we move on to Sheffield United. 2, Wolverhampton Wanderers 1. And I say, to be sawn off by the same penalty 2 weeks running, when the first one you've been told by the panel who look at these things that it was the wrong call, then to sit there with the ref and the ref to say, I still feel there was enough contact. Oh, come on, seriously, how can you look at that and think there's enough contact?
They are making a mockery of the game now. I'll go as far as that. I mean, we'll get onto the way Arteta reacted at Newcastle, but The referees, by backing each other up, as you two were talking about before I came on, whether formally or informally, and then, you know, you go and see them, it's clearly not a penalty. The referee made a stupid mistake. I thought he just blew his whistle so quickly. You know, because I'm right in thinking that the Wolves player who was fouled, it was Baldock, wasn't it?
Sheffield United player, Baldock.
He jumped straight up because he knew it wasn't a foul. He wanted to try and score the goal. And then to go to the dressing room to be told that, it is a penalty. The VAR, the worst bit here. The referee made a mistake. It was a stupid mistake. But they can watch it then from several angles in slow motion. For them to back him up, absolutely disgraceful.
But whoever invented this phrase "clear and obvious" as an excuse should be in my football prison.
Yeah,
because they just hide behind that all the time.
It's the thing. I've never played professional football, but look at that. And Baldock has thought in that moment, he's seen Silva's leg, and he thought, "Well, I'll have a pop at that. I'll take a punt. We might get away with it. We might not. It's dying seconds."
He then doesn't get enough contact, and he realises, I've not got my penalty now. I'll get up and try and score. Yeah. Meanwhile, the referee is literally in super fast motion pointing to the spot. Baldock would have been astonished to get that penalty.
It was staggering, really, wasn't it?
Now, here's the question
for you. I'm always concerned when
our
relegation rivals win, though. I'm a bit worried about that one.
He's setting us up for their wins tonight.
Should Gary O'Neill be now roaring from the rooftops?
Yeah.
Because it seems to me that some of Arteta's reaction, we'll get onto that, was off the back of Liverpool's reaction to the sawn off at Spurs when losing a proper goal. Is it now that you have to make such a fuss to try and get into the referees' minds for the next game?
Ferguson
used to do it all the time.
Yeah,
it's exactly what it is.
Well, then Gary's got to put pull himself up to his full 5 foot nine, stick his chest out, and get into the faces of, of these officials.
It sadly carries more weight when you do it, if you're managing Arsenal versus managing Wolves.
That's entirely true, Andy. Yeah, but you know, these are marginal gains. You've got to have a go at it.
We've seen it work, Danny, already. You know, Craig Pawson didn't want to saw Liverpool off when Konate had a court to court in the derby, and didn't thought, I can't do that to them again after what happened at Tottenham.
Very much, yeah. No,
spot on.
Anyway,
the fact that we have it saying these sentences and agreeing with each other, it's ludicrous.
Yeah, it is.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
It's interesting. We've had a couple of quite similar messages from listeners around VAR. One, Hoggy in Shrivenham. And who was the other one? It's such a long one. I need to actually look at the whole thing so I can see who sent it. Oh, I haven't put his name on it. Basically saying that maybe it would take the other managers in a game. Because what we tend to get, Danny, in these matches is that one manager feels like his team have been stitched up, and the other manager says, well, we were owed one of them. I mean, if the other manager in a game said, do you know what? I think he's got a point. That should never have been a goal. I mean, it's been a goal, and you've got the goal. Then no one's going to turn around and change it again. But maybe there needs to be a little bit of solidarity between the gaffers sometimes.
And also us broadcasters and also fans. What happens is the anger about this nonsense, I've got to speak rationally here, is diffused because it gets turned into club rivalries. Ha, 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 you got sawn off there. Ha, 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 it happened to you last week. It happened to us the week before. We need to look at it's the game that's suffering here.
Yeah.
So try to stop turning into brilliant, our local rivals, brilliant, our relegation rivals got a terrible decision, because that's just letting the officials off the hook here.
Yeah. Well, let's look at Newcastle 1, Arsenal 0. Blimey, where'd you start?
It's
so much went on.
A big win for Newcastle. It's a real statement, isn't it? And considering they've got so many injuries, it's a pretty admirable performance, really.
I mean, it's an important win for them. The game was two decent teams cancelling each other out. But you're right, Paul, we could talk about this forever. I mean, just quickly games unravel sometimes. And this game unraveled. And I felt sorry for the referee, because we're going to disagree here, because I thought Havertz was a high orange and not quite a red. Other people say it was a complete straight red. I totally understand that. But once it wasn't a red, particularly as it's an away player, the home players then decide, well, it's game on then. We can do what we like. And we see the unbelievable performance by Guimaraes, who, was going around looking for trouble.
Yeah.
This then leads to, Arteta's outburst after the game. We'll get onto the goal in a second. Which then reaches a new level, I think, with Arsenal backing him up. Arsenal could have chosen to say nothing there. But by what are they hoping to achieve as a club? Because I know that they have had loads of good decisions and bad decisions. You know, the idea that they're somehow being picked on by the authorities, it's backing up the madness you see on social media. That was what really surprised me when Arsenal got involved.
It also covers up the fact, not only that they're not playing particularly well, but this thing with Raya and Ramsdale.
Yeah.
I asked my Brentford supporting mate, why do you think Raya's struggling? And he thinks that, you know, no goalkeeper likes not being the certain number one choice.
It breeds.
And so they're both, when they both appear, they both think if we make a mistake, the other one's going to be in.
Yeah.
And that is the problem with it. And it hasn't really worked. I mean, whatever you think of Ramsdale, I thought he was great for them last season. All right, maybe. You know, that's not the reason Ramsdale wasn't the reason they didn't win the league. It was Saliba getting injured.
Yeah.
You
know? I mean, that was a bit of a flap at that cross, and we've seen a few coming in from crosses he's had issues with.
He's not doing well.
He has a weird positional tick where he goes beyond the frame of the goal sometimes, and it gives him, in those moments where the margins are tiny, it gives him a little bit more to do than he ought to have. And sympathy for Arsenal here, because, of course, the three reviews on the goal, the one that was obvious was that it was a foul, wasn't it?
The push,
it was
course, by Joe Linton.
Of course it was.
It was never a goal in a million years.
I think if he afterwards and just said, well, you know, I can't believe that decision. I mean, look at the difference. His response compared with Gary O'Neill's had a complete build-up of those.
You're right to point out that the managers of the bigger clubs feel, for whatever reason, maybe just because of the media heft of the gravity of their clubs, that they can go out there and do this. But I mean, so many of them are in my aegis, my orbit on Twitter. Arsenal fans really have got it in their heads that they're being hard done by the officials. And And yet, if you go back through the matches, they get some. You know, Havertz could easily have gone there. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
And then you're away from home against a really good Newcastle team with 10 men. But of course, and that's the problem, isn't it? Every time the managers come out and start up about individual decisions, like the goal, which should have been disallowed, they never, ever mention all things that have gone their way, even in that same match. And
no.
The Havertz decision went Arsenal's way.
It's well, true. We will touch on that, I'm sure, with Dale a little bit later on here, try and explain exactly what
poor
went
Dale,
on.
The, poor the Dale, the hardest working man in showbiz now.
He's kind of become like an apologist for him, but yeah, all he does is try and look at it in a kind of rational,
yeah,
same way.
Fair enough,
in the
it?
Way that none of us seem to be able to do. At Manchester City, 6, Bournemouth, 1. I mean, when we did the Fools panel the other day, everybody was coming up with 3s and 4s, and that was on the basis that we thought they might make some changes, City, with Europe this week. I mean, this is the thing with City, isn't it? They can do this. They can do this to most teams outside the top 10, top 12 on any given day.
I also think that teams that don't win the Ivan Toney lottery in January or next summer might be looking at Dominic Solanke, because he's, I think, a higher level now than Bournemouth. No disrespect to Bournemouth, but
okay,
I think he could play for a.
It's quite difficult
top
to say
team.
That and then say no disrespect.
Well, you
to
know,
Bournemouth.
Do you know what
no,
I'm saying?
I know what you mean. Know. No, some players outgrow a team, maybe. I don't know, and that's not helping either, is it? So, yeah, City. It was all about Doku, wasn't it? Really, and that performance he put in. It's an interesting dilemma with him and Grealish. They are different sorts of players with a different approach, but. What an embarrassment of riches on that left-hand side.
Look,
for him.
You've got two things going on here, haven't you? You've got in Manchester City's squad is palpably better than anybody else's squad in the Premier League.
Oh, absolutely.
Their subs bench is always extraordinary. But then you add that to the manager who gets 95% of things, even weird substitutions and weird selections, gets them right over and over again. The gap between Manchester City... The theoretical gap in my mind between Manchester City and the rest of the teams in the Premier League is huge at the moment. Now, they may get distracted by, trebles or distracted by the Champions League, or they might get a terrible draw in the Champions League, whatever it is. But on paper, there is a huge gap, and they translate that more often than not on the grass as well. By the way, I must tell the listeners, Andy is now doing method zooming.
Yeah.
He's put up a Caribbean coastline or a very sunny,
oh,
very
Spain.
Spanish coastline behind. And then he took off, he's out a layer of clothing because it was so hot in Spain.
That's right.
Unbelievable.
That's good, isn't it?
Bournemouth kept him out.
Yeah, the rear guard lasted for 30 minutes. Yeah. But, in the end of the day, City are... Danny's right. They're just miles ahead of everybody else. And you can't see what could derail them. That would stop them winning.
Well, I mean, we are watching
one of the greatest teams in the history of English football.
Yeah.
And it's horrible to say that because we all know that, back of our minds we're going, but look how they got there and all the rest of it. But on just looking at the football and the footballers, this is an extraordinary group and an extraordinary manager getting, as I say, almost maximum juice out of them most of the time. And of course, yeah, Doku's a completely different player from Grealish. What will he do the way they work that club? He will force Grealish to improve.
Yeah, no, exactly. He's kind of laid down the challenge to him. But again, what if you can bring either one of those guys off the bench at any one point in the game? Oh, heart sinker. So
the goals were a little bit unlucky in some of them, and they had to be earned by City. It wasn't really a 6-1 performance by Bournemouth, but that's how it ended.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't think, again, Iriola is going to be judged on going to the Etihad.
Definitely.
We move on then to Everton 1, Brighton and Hove Albion 1. A game which Everton didn't have a lot of the ball, but they did get a share of the goals. And we saw De Zerbi bemoaning the fact that I think he is struggling, really, with losing players and then injuries as well. He's seeing a slightly different Brighton this season. And Europe, of course.
Yeah, we kind of talked about this, that they've lost players in positions that have opened up the possibility of getting out other players. The team is not quite where it was. Though you have to be honest, I know that possession is often an illusory advantage in the game, and many managers now know how to win with a minority of possession. But 80% for the away team... I don't think Everton are going to win many matches. I think they're very improved, by the way. They're not going to win many matches with 20% possession. And Brighton are not going to draw many more games with 80% possession. So, Brighton are not as good as they were. Everton are improving. But if that game was played 10 more times, I'd expect Brighton to come out on the better end of it, 6 or 7 of those times,
yeah,
with those stats.
I agree with you. I think they're much harder to beat. Pre-Dash, they would have lost that game. I think they're going to be perfectly fine. And
yeah.
I noticed that Sean Dyche, he would have a full head of hair if he grew it, but he would have an island.
Okay, Dyche Island.
Dyche Island.
Well, is it like Martinez Island?
It's not quite as bad
or
as Martinez.
McLaren Island, that's where I always go in the summer.
It would end up like McLaren Island.
McLaren Island's great.
He's doing a
very good decent
job.
Size island. It's got a decent road network and there's a number of bars on it. But Martinez Island is quite small. It's almost like one of those desert islands, you know, a very small one, just with a palm tree in the middle.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Danny Kelly's with us. We're looking back over the Premier League weekend. We have reached the point of Burnley nil, Crystal Palace 2, again, another damaging result. A record breaker, of course. 6 successive home losses to start the campaign.
Never enough of JJ Watt.
Never happened before in
top
of the
game.
Back off JJ Watt, let Vincent get on with it, or not. You know, make your minds up. Don't just sort of snipe from the sidelines. Yeah, I mean, look, a good solid result for Palace, wasn't it, really, after recent results?
Just two managers, isn't it? You know, one in Roy Hodgson, who, you know, knows how to get results at this level. I criticised Palace for the way they played against Spurs the other week, but, you know, they went up there knowing that Burnley were going to do what Burnley do. We've discussed it ad nauseum. Vincent is not going to change what he does, and he is going to get relegated. Because they can't just keep doing this against Premier League teams. They will
give away so many stupid
goals.
In
the Championship, there was a moment when it clicked. What he wanted from them and what the players were able to deliver clicked. I'm not saying that's going to happen in the Premier League because I know it's a whole new level. But essentially, what he's asking them to do is what they did before, but at a much higher level. Maybe it will click. I mean, you know, they still create chances. They just make too many mistakes and those mistakes get punished.
It can't click, Andy, against Paul, against the level of players they're playing against.
That is the problem.
They can't click. And I stand here and I literally, I've got a hat over here and I will eat a quarter of it. You know, my diet. If Burnley avoid relegation. And I hate saying it because I love what they did. I love watching them last year. But, you know, Roy Hodgson, I don't know if he's still, if he licks his lips. He'd been licking his lips at this fixture because he knew exactly what, at least he knew exactly what the opposition were going to do. And with Palace still slightly low on resources themselves, he's able to organise a team, get ahead, and then there was nothing in it. And of course, you know, Burnley will make chances, they're the home team and all the rest of it. But this was so predictable, both in prospect and reality.
Well, let's move on then
good
to
see Eze back.
It's good to see Eze back. Absolutely, Brentford 3, West Ham United 2.
Really exciting, game.
Was a very
belting
exciting
game. Yeah,
enjoyed it.
It's funny. A mention of the defending by David Moyes. It said it was Keystone Kops defending, and David's 60 now. And I wonder if he's the last of the generation that will mention Keystone Kops and possibly even Fred Carno's army, because unless the LMA manager get hold of this and the new young managers coming in and get a lesson on the...
They have to go to Max Sennett School,
do
they?
They have to go to Max Sennett, have an hour on Max Sennett, hour on Fred Carno, you know, musical impresario, work with Charlie Chaplin and Stan Laurel. If they get a crash course in that, we'll keep this going. Otherwise, it'll be the end of Keystone Kops defending, Danny.
Paul,
that would be sad.
You're down with Doug Kids. What is the current equation of Keystone Kops? What is the current shorthand for confusion and chaos?
I mean, something maybe from Love Island, I'd imagine.
Maybe we need to ask
future
the
manager,
kids.
That's Love Island defending.
What's the? That's Love Island defending.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Where I sit, actually stand at Brentford, because the bloke next to me stands up, so if I want to talk to him, I have to stand the whole game.
Right. But how does that play with the people behind you? Does everybody stand?
It doesn't matter because we're the last row. And people behind
the last row with Andy Jacobs on Talk. Yeah. That's your new show.
I'm right behind the dugout. It's not quite, just in front of me, and I can watch the managers. And David Moyes, I mean, throughout the, he was doing his nut, then he sits down, then he gets up and has another complaint. That is, you know, honestly, they go through absolute contortions, and you know, it is difficult being a manager. They get well paid, but
you're pressing on something there, Andy. I think it's too much. You shouldn't read too much into one result. But this, on one side, you've got Brentford, who every player is absolutely bought into what the manager does and is trying to do. They've even overcome the loss of Tony to remain a very decent Premier League mid-table team. West Ham, I sense, and I don't know this, and you know, I'm missing vulnerability here. West Ham, I sense, there's a little bit of a battle going on, isn't there, for the soul of the team. If you've got a squad that includes Paquetar, Benrahma, Kudus, Fornals, but you're essentially a manager who wants to be stable at the back, there's going to be a push-me-pull-you going on in your mind. And that's what that's reflected in his amazingly overactive performance on the sidelines. David has brought in these players to make West Ham more attacking, more flair, all the rest of it. There's some part of his mind that still thinks, though, I'd rather play 4-4-2 and see this one out, you know. Because when they were 2-1 up, David Moyes' teams in the past would not have been losing 3-2.
Well, they should have a great chance.
They should have been
3-1.
Antonio
robbing Benrahma.
3-1
really.
Is a different game, but very anyway, much. Yeah. One winning, seven
and
in the
Waymo is having a wonderful season, and so is Matthias Jensen.
Yeah, very good. We move on to Fulham 0, Manchester United 1. And I'm sure most Manchester United fans, will hear from Andy Goldstein later, will be honest in their assessment that we didn't really discover a great deal. It's not. It didn't feel like a turning point performance.
I was listening to the match on TalkSport on the way to the game, and you just knew. I thought, well, United will find some spawny way of winning this, and that's exactly what they did. They're so unimpressive, but they have picked up points.
I wonder if there's going to be a teenage word for spawny as well. Yeah. I enjoyed that very much. They have picked up the points, but if you showed that game and you know. Didn't and change the advertising perimeter board, and you'd say this is a game from the latter third of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's reign. It's exactly what it feels like now, isn't it? Yes, they've won 6 and lost 5, and we could say has the team turned a corner, but we're saying that all the time with you know different players, but the same Manchester United setup under Solskjaer. Let's forget Ranić because that was all a bit mad, wasn't it? And In the past, you'd have said, "Yeah, that's it. Now they got that game. They're a bit lucky, and now they'll go on a bit of a run." I've got no confidence they'll go on a bit of a run at all. It's like Solskjaer, where every win was the turning point, and every defeat was a crisis, and that's exactly where they're at now.
Resident Fulham fan John Norman, sorry Paul, bemoaning the lack of a striker after Mitrovic.
Totally,
course, that is a problem.
Totally.
I mean, they really should have known, personality-wise, that there was no way he was going to stick around. They should have, as soon as he started kicking off, they should have started looking for a striker. But
Fulham, it is to the credit of the player that Willian is their best player, but at 35 years of age, it is not a good sign for the team that he is their best player.
No, and Mark Irwin did an interesting piece in the Saturday looking at this game, and he said there's people that want Ten Hag to stay, and they point at Arteta and sticking with a manager, having a long-term plan, letting them get on with it. But as he points out, the difference was you kind of knew where Arteta was going with it. You could see
it's
a bit
like
plan.
Chelsea. So having this discussion with Andy Goldstein saying, actually, I think Chelsea are in a better position than United, even though they're below.
Because you can see what
you can see what can happen
in
with next year or a year after. But with United, you just don't feel that.
The Maguire thing, we should just touch on that as well, because I know there's been a bit of pushback from Headway and others. There was a doctor on. I mean, really, not running against the protocols. Well, they are. They're not running against the physios who are going through the right protocols as they stand. But the protocols are wrong. Take the player off for 10 minutes. They do it in other sports. Well, I think it'd be so Luddite football. It's so set in its ways and won't change. And say, if it works in other sports, you know, lean on that and do the right thing. It's people's health at risk.
Yeah, it is. He had a terrific game, though, as they
highlighted
on Match
of the Day. He was United's best player by
tremendous.
A mile, wasn't he?
Yeah, which, of course, you know, adds to that always that pressure to not take them off for 10 minutes. But we've now, all three of us and many of the listeners have lived through pretending there was no problem with heading footballs repeatedly and head injuries in football to understanding, thanks to the works, you know, of Headway and others, that this is just not true. And Harry Maguire, which is what, you know, the one I always remember from our world, Paul, was Vertonghen. Absolutely weaving about like he'd been hit by a truck and insisting to stay on the pitch. It's not his decision.
No.
Get them off. And if you have to have a less good player at centre-back for a few minutes, so be it, because the long-term good of both your team and the individual is what's at stake here, not this nonsense.
Well, even then, I think on Match of the Day, they said, but you know, he stayed on, and I think they said, you know, he was brave. And you think, well, that's not the point. It's not nothing about bravery, is it? It's not about bravery. You've got to protect.
I don't question Harry Maguire's courage. I question his health here, no?
Yeah, absolutely.
Just quick one on tonight, Danny, before we go. How are you feeling? Andy thinks it's a foregone conclusion. I think it's the way we set up, and Chelsea have done well against teams that come on to them. I think it could be an entertaining game.
I take a longer-term view that Chelsea, as it was described on TalkSport on Friday night, I was listening to one of the programmes, Chelsea beating Spurs is a fact of life, someone said.
It used to be.
Yeah, I know. Spurs will be playing with their fifth choice left back on the night, and I'm not sure they're good enough yet to sustain an injury crisis in one position like that. I hope I hope for the best and fear the worst, as always with Chelsea. Yeah. You're not getting any logical punditry from me here. This is pure emotion.
No.
Would I settle for a draw now? No, because I want Spurs to win. Mm. I think all three results are very much on the cards tonight.
Yeah, you're not seeing that, Andy, are you?
Oh, it's a football match, so anything can happen, of course. But, I mean, it's hard to make a case.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at UH1.com.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Good afternoon, Paul Hawksby and Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport, and they're repeating the three big calls in the Newcastle-Arsenal game on Sky on a loop. I see they've got Dermot Gallagher passing judgment. I can't hear what he's saying, but they've spent a lot of time on the push. That seems to be the one aspect of it, doesn't it?
Well,
the push.
That's because it was.
Yeah, that feels like the one that that you've got every right
to. It was never
to.
A goal, right, you know, and that's the end of it. So what are you going to do?
Well, we move on. So we did ask you today, this exchange between Maurizio Pochettino, just, you know, second language and all that. He got the wrong end of the stick. They were worried he might go into the wrong dugout tonight, like Ron Atkinson did. He was asked in the press conference, you worried about doing a Ron Atkinson? He said, sorry, Mr. Bean, you mean, Ron Atkinson, the actor. He heard Rowan Atkinson. It's easy done. Then we got into an old exchange about, the manager. What, Rowan Atkinson? No, Aston Villa, Man United, Forest. Oh, OK, so it all got very... It got who's on first, basically. We asked for some equivalents. Michael, the Liverpool fan, says, whilst watching the Saturday morning chart show with my cousin when we were kids, You Can't Touch This came on, at which point my nan came into the room and said, look at that idiot McHammer, and he's not even Scottish. So we'll take a few more of those from you this afternoon. TalkSport.com, text 8 to 89, tweet TSHNJ 03717223344. I don't normally do this, Andy, but there was some... You know, we were talking about nicknames the other day, how people have achieved, how they've got their nicknames. And we didn't get round to some of them, and some of them were excellent. So I salvaged some from the other day. Okay. This was a few beauties in there. My mate's name is Liers. So for some reason, we started calling him Standard, as in Standard Liers.
Very good.
The Belgian football team, said Charlie. Yes, this is another one as well. When I was in the RAF, a new guy turned up to work straight from training. We asked him if he had any nicknames. He said, oh, yeah, Various. So to this day, he's still known as Various, and we're all well into our 50s. This is a dark one. A guy we used to sit near at the match, we nicknamed The Body. And if you're thinking El McPherson, he said don't, because he smelt rotten. Pete the Liverpool fan. It's a bit dark. Whichever ones we had. Oh, yeah, my name is Jane. My name is Jamie, said. I work with a guy we call E.T. because he always wants to go home when we're at work. That was quite nice.
That's quite cute.
We had someone join our footy team with a southern accent, said Andy, the Blackburn Rovers fan in Blackburn. And because of the southern accent, our captain promptly called him Essex, and it stuck. Turns out he's actually from Hertfordshire.
Well, there you go.
It borders it. And finally, I worked with a guy who had a calf muscle that was much bigger than the other one, and he was affectionately known by all as Scooter.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So beautiful. Thanks for those. You deserve to get a mention for them. Because they were good. If you want to add to the list, then go for it. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ. Sorry, Andy.
I was reading about the Olympics next year in Paris. Yeah. And the food in the Olympic Village will apparently, according to the organisers, will be gourmet, healthy and high quality.
Nice, yeah. We had a McDonald's at the London Olympics.
That's true. Reflecting traditional French dining, dishes on offer will include roast guinea fowl with crayfish.
Yeah, that sits nice, didn't it, before the...
Exactly.
Imagine that.
Just went on before the 100 metres.
Imagine the old 10. Well, don't you remember, there was kids, look at some old comics. Ask your dad about the comics he used to read. And he may have read about a character called Alf Tupper, the tougher the track.
Well, that's true.
This was a man who was a runner, but a kind of class warrior at the same time. Mm. He'd run against people of his own class or black athletes. And if he beat them, he'd say, unlucky, mate, well done. Or if they beat him, he was quite right on.
Yeah.
Whereas if he'd run against posh blokes, and you could always tell the posh runners because they ran with a monocle in.
Yeah.
And often he'd get to the end and he'd biff the toff. He was like...
But didn't he have a fish and chips before the race?
Yeah, he used to have fish and chips. Often he got sponsored by a local fish and chip shop and he'd have fish and chips before
the... It wasn't actually real, of course.
Well, he wasn't actually real, but I'm not sure if you were looking to be a runner and you saw Alf Tupper. At one point, I seem to remember Alf going temporarily blind and doing the 110-metre hurdles with a dog who barked as he got to every hurdle. But I may have made that up. I can't quite remember.
Our old friend Brian Swanson wrote to the Times today.
Well, isn't he UEFA's sort of...
He's director of media at FIFA.
That's a job and a half, isn't it? Trying to explain the madness of Infantino.
The headline's called In Defence of FIFA. And he says, Gianni Infantino, who was democratically elected, has changed FIFA from a toxic institution to a respected, trusted and modern governing body.
Come on, Brian. Goodness, we've got eyes.
WTB, than Blatter.
We can see what's going on. Yeah, hashtag worse than Blatter. He actually is. It's hard to believe that we got to this point, but he actually is. Anything else, Andy?
Yes, I've got one here. It says, here's the question. Could crystals be the key to Victoria Beckham's success?
Oh, okay.
No.
Oh, fair enough.
The former Spice Girl and fashion designer, Wright, obviously a picture of her, provided a glimpse into her sizeable crystal collection last week as she revealed she was taking the time to cleanse them in the bathtub. Washing my crystals today, she explained.
Nice.
Emma Lucy Knowles, author of Crystals to Manifest.
And there's Cyril in the dressing room. Yeah,
very much so.
Yeah, or Beyonce.
Oh, I can't wait to get that book.
Yeah.
Told Vogue that the timing of Victoria's cleanse was just right. Around the time of a full moon, people do often do a big cleanse of their crystals. It's a bit like doing a factory reset on your phone. You need to cleanse and purify the crystals of all the build-up energy that's in them. Okay. And then it says, scientists may say otherwise. Yeah, I think they would.
That's because they're scientists. Yeah, and they take a scientific look at these kind of things. This bizarre story emerged, didn't it, on Saturday, that Arsenal's under-18s, their game at Brighton was postponed because they'd gone to Bournemouth instead. They hadn't, basically. They just took a wrong turn. They couldn't make kickoff. Yeah. Where does that story come from, that they've gone to the wrong ground, which they didn't, apparently? All they did was take a wrong turn off.
It sounds better. If the story is, they took the wrong turn off and missed the kickoff, that's no good. But if they went to the wrong ground, that's a better story.
Yes.
That's why. An insider said, I think you'll find.
Simon the Borough fan said, my mum went to buy the new Phil Collins album, No Jacket Required. She couldn't remember what it was called and said to the bloke in the shop, I think it's called You Don't Need a Coat. Beautiful, Simon. Thank you very much for that in the posh envelope. Talksport.com/H&J. Text to 81089. Or tweet to TSH&J. Just a quick bit of housekeeping as well. You may recall last week we talked a bit of snooker, and we were talking about the prospect of Judd Trump going over to China to play a 12-year-old boy.
Really?
In the tournament. Oh, wasn't it? It must have been on Tuesday when Charlie was in there. Yeah, we had a chat about it, and we were talking about, they start very young in China. There's some good young players, but 12 was pushing it a bit. And it was Wang Jinzhong who he beat in the international championship.
He won.
In Tianjin. Oh, yeah, he won. He won quite comfortably. And poor
he
old.
He started crying.
Poor old. Well, funny you should say that. He didn't. But Wang only got 38 points in the 6-0 hammering, so he found it difficult.
Oh,
but Trump was very kind. He said, I went in there knowing I couldn't
That's
take him lightly.
You hear very often.
What's that?
Trump was very kind.
No, he's, it's a different Trump, of course.
Of course it is,
It's a different, different Trump. He says, I went in there knowing I couldn't take him lightly. It was tough on him. He's young. He was playing me late at night, which seems to be hinting that it was past his bedtime. That, you know, he'd start getting ratty and tired after about 8:30.
He fell asleep one.
Yeah. It
Just
would be a good learning curve for him.
Seven.
Yeah, losing 6-0 to a man. So, anyway, hope his dad didn't give him a load of clog when he came off like a Sunday football dad, anyway.
There was an amazing story in the Sunday Times yesterday about a statue that... Every day, 40,000 people cross Tower Bridge and they see this statue, girl with a dolphin. And it was modelled on Virginia Wade, the tennis player.
I know.
I never knew that. Incredible.
Okay. Has it changed your life in many ways?
No, not at all. But, you know, that's quite. It was quite bold. Virginia was quoted and saying she had to, you know, actually...
Model
in the nude to get the...
Did
know,
she really?
Yeah, apparently.
Blimey.
Yeah, that's what he said, yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Andy.
Not so
still to come, Andy Brassel will be joining us, European football expert, another hat-trick for Harry Kane. Is it shooting fish in a barrel? Is it a poor reflection on the Bundesliga? Anyway, we'll be asking Andy about that. Tommy Widrington's going to join us, Aldershot manager. They put 7 past Swindon, non-league Aldershot. And Scott Davis, the Slough Town player manager. We make a song, Andy.
Yeah, I forgot to mention a FIFA Fair Play Award for the Bangladesh captain. Was it Shakib?
Yeah.
Who decided that Angelo Matthews should be the first ever person in international cricket or any cricket to be timed out.
Yeah, Matthews has been bowling at Shakib. There's quite a lot of short stuff going in there. I don't think he's made contact yet, but yeah, they're 90 for 2 Bangladesh. They're chasing 280. And yeah, we saw... Timed out today. He was messing around with his helmet. The strap had broken. Mm. Went over the 2 minutes. Normally in that situation, most teams sort of generally let it go. But Bangladesh approached the umpires.
Every team lets it go.
Yeah. They approached the umpires, said he's over his 2 minutes. We want him off. He's timed out. And the umpires had no choice.
If I'd been Sri Lanka, I'd have just walked off the pitch. I said, all right, it's yours. If that's what it takes to win a game.
Shakib will not be doing the Spirit of Cricket lecture this year.
Seems unlikely.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. The Talk Sport Clips of the Week.
Well, Clips of the Week, pewter. We're going to head back to March 2003.
Wow.
The first time these have been aired since then. The producer... track down some old clips in the archive.
These are as old as we've gone.
And he's dusted them off. March 2003. Blimey, on a wax cylinder, weren't they? Apparently they were on...
It's over 20 years ago. That's mad.
They were on a mini disc. But anyway, we've not heard them since, so we know not what to expect, but we trust his judgment. Here we go. Where shall we start, Andy?
With Keith Arthur chatting to a caller on Fisherman's Blues.
From the front of the jaw, you can see just how aggressive... And how predatory these fish are, and they must be super. I will definitely. I'll catch one before too long. That's for sure.
Yes, it's overcast down here this morning.
Okay, fair enough. Don't want to chat about that. That's fine. Just give us a weather report. Yeah. This is Alan Brazil with a guest on Breakfast. I just wish he'd say who it was.
This is a very good morning to the papers, Daily Mails. I think top football writer Steve Curry. Morning, Steve.
Morning, Alan.
Steve, just on Macedonia, watch.
Saying, you know, all the bars where we tend to frequent, Steve, as you boys know.
Steve, we should highlight the fact. Now, Steve, Slovakia shocked the Riverside last night. Steve, that partnership last night. Well, we started off down the left, Steve. And now, just let me tell you, Steve, that Steve Curry from... football writer, top football writer, by the way, from the Daily Mail.
It's almost, do you know, sometimes you call somebody by the wrong name, and then when you found out what their name is, you couldn't remember their name, then you find out what they say, you overuse it.
It was overused.
You know, please, Steve. What's next, Andy?
Hello.
Bahoo.
Eddie Waring. Here's Mike Barry alongside Chris Cooper on Breakfast.
Good morning, Chris Cooper and Mike Parry with you on the No Nonsense Sports Breakfast. Beautiful day, you know. Everybody should be thinking
about... what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day.
Now, let me tell you, it could be 86 degrees Fahrenheit today, Chris. Not bad, hey?
Yeah, Chris thinking, blimey, this is going to be a long morning. Put me tin hat on. Singing clearly isn't Mr. Parry's strong point. Maybe he's a better impressionist.
I've got one here, I'm not sure who it's from, but they say, a beret for Mike. He gets to look like and sound more like Frank Spencer every day. Betty.
Yeah, that was in the days when people were doing Frank Spencer impressions, yeah.
Back, that's even a long time after that. Yeah. Back to Fisherman's Blues and Nigel Botherway.
You can't beat a pole for accurate plumbing, can you?
Exactly, exactly. And you can move it around inch by inch,
yeah,
just to find the right little spot.
It's a bit carry-on talk sport, isn't it, really? Yeah. It would be now. And the pole-based innuendo wasn't limited to Nigel. It's Keith Arthur with a caller.
I mean, I've found a few good tips, actually, to keep your pole in good condition, if it's any help to anybody. Baby wipes are brilliant for cleaning your pole from grit and dust.
Well, thanks for sharing.
More tea, Vicar. This is out in Brazil now.
The real ill wobble, the real ill ramble. Now, this is more up Mr. Parry's cup of tea.
Is it the real ill wobble or the real ill ramble?
But it's up. It can't be up his cup of tea.
It can't be. It sounds like an Ian Dury line.
Up his street or his cup of tea, but it can't be up his cup of tea.
It's an Ian Dury line. Mike Parry now, talking tennis.
As you know, I'm Tim Henman's biggest fan, right?
Yeah.
This guy is a great Briton. He is a great Britisher. He's a great Englishman.
What's a Britisher?
I have no idea.
Absolutely no idea what a Britisher is. And next, Andy.
Fisherman's Blues again, and Nigel chatting to a caller.
If he looks for Barcelona Street, which is at the western end of the promenade.
Yep. You're going to tell me there's a fishing tackle shop?
I am, mate. And brilliant. They've got everything in there.
Oh, brilliant.
I don't know about bait.
Well, they've got everything but bait, anyway. I was only going for the bait.
Is that Ramblers Fishing Stores?
That's right, Barcelona Road. Mike Parry again now with Big Owl.
I've told you about the northeast, Mr. Parry, and today I've seen some of the weather girls on our monitors here.
Mr. Parry? No, you're Mr. Parry.
Sorry? No, you're Mr. Brazil.
Mr. Parry.
Yeah.
You're Mr. Parry, I'm Mr. Parry.
What a great bit of radio that was.
Yes.
Tremendous.
And next, Andy, and finally, is it?
One last one from Nigel Botherway now.
It's something spiritual. They say they say angling's the new Buddhism, don't they?
Yeah.
That is true. You never see the Dalai Lama without a rod and a worm in a bivvy, do you, really? Sitting there, lunch and meat on a pole. And finally, it is Mr. Parry.
I was up there recently. I lectured the Institute of Chartered Marketers or something. Marketeers, I should know.
Yeah, they
tremendous.
I think they might withhold the fee.
Yeah. Memorable.
Made them feel special, didn't you? So there we are. We dusted them off. Clips pewter from March 2003. All being well, we'll have a fresh batch on Friday. But a lot of that's down to you because you are our fine clip spotter. So if you do hear a clip on TalkSport over the next 5 days, do send it into us, talksport.com/H&J. Text to 81089. Tweet to TSHNJ, TSHANDJ. Again, as always, a day and a time when you heard the clip. And we'll have a listen back, and if it's played, you're going to mention on air. Don't forget, if you're on Apple, you can listen to the extra podcast we do. We have a couple of extra podcasts, and one is a kind of deep dive into a clip special, a bit of a director's cut, as we say. We talk about some of the clips in a bit more detail, and also we have a kind of everything must go, Andy's mad stuff he never gets around to, which is quite free form, but people seem to enjoy it. So if you would like to try those for nothing, and if you enjoy them, they're $2.99 a month. It's a free 30-day trial. So TalkSport Plus channel on Apple Podcasts, if you fancy checking that out. Interesting news at the weekend about Emma Hayes.
Yes.
A big loss to Chelsea. She's done an amazing job.
Big loss to Chelsea, but I'm sure our fabulous recruitment team will find somebody suitable.
All the clues were there when she came in and chatted to us a little while ago. I mean, she talked about her love of the States and when she lived there before.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I put a question to her, and normally, you as a club manager, you'd expect her to dance around it. As I said, do you fancy having a crack at international management? And she was straight back with, oh, yeah, definitely I would, you know. So,
yeah.
the clues were there. But she's done an amazing job.
Yeah, she's done a brilliant job for Chelsea. I'm glad she's staying for the whole season and does give them a chance, joking aside, to replace her. But difficult job.
No, it's not. It's a plum job, blimey, isn't it? It's one of the best jobs in women's football.
A lot of the players go there. The recruitment's been great, but a lot of it is because of her.
Yeah. Nigel Adderley's been in touch, and he says, I commentated on Derby Crewe yesterday in the FA Cup. No VAR, and players were ripping each other's shirts off at every corner, and the ref let them get on with it. Not within the rules, but at least it was dealt with consistently, says Nigel. Mm. Is this a better situation than what we currently have in the Premier League? You know what he means. It's true, Nigel.
Oh, yeah,
it?
Of course. Just,
The lack of consistency drives you mad. Sorry?
How did Chesham get on?
Lost, unfortunately. I think they lost. I think it was 2-0 last time I looked. They played Maidstone. Alex Horn and Nigel Adderley, both Chesham fans. And Nigel was, and Alex was on the other day. But yeah, beaten 2-0 at home by Maidstone.
Oh, well. Fair enough. We must thank listener Richard James, who alerted us to the Tamworth FC play. Thought we'd be tickled by his name.
Yeah.
Dempsey Arlett John.
Yeah, Dempsey Arlett John. What a fantastic name. Yeah.
It's amazing.
You had a couple of other alternatives, didn't you?
Only based from his famous last commentary.
Yes.
And after Jenkins, Martin, Christopher, it'll be Bailey Trevor or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Something around the other way around.
So, Andy, how are you feeling about tonight's game as the day goes on? I've noticed you seem to be getting a bit more confident as we get closer to kickoff.
You're starting to believe this. Aren't you? I mean, Chelsea fans are a bit annoyed that I said we got no chance, but it was a bit of kidology there, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't know why people react to all this. What does it matter what I think is going to happen in this game? I've got absolutely
people look
no
to you, man. You're seen as a
influence.
Sage.
No, I'm not a sage, and I've got no influence over Wyoms tonight. Obviously, I'm hoping Chelsea do themselves justice. I'd be happy with a point, to be honest. You know, that would be a good result the way Spurs are going. But, you know, look, it's going to be tough. It should be a great game for the neutral, that's for sure. I just hope it's not like Potter's return to Brighton, which was really quite embarrassing.
Right.
But I don't think it will be, because we're a lot better.
No. It's going to be interesting to see what the teams are.
It looks like Mudrick is fit, so I think he'll play the same front three he played against Arsenal, which is quite effective, actually.
Yeah.
Sterling, Cole Palmer and Mudrick, so we'll see.
As Danny was saying earlier,
Brozier on the bench, which is helpful, I think.
I don't sense that Ange Postecoglou is big on kidology, so when he says Destiny Udogie is 50-50...
He might play, but it doesn't mean he's right, you know.
No, so.
He could be up against Sterling, or he could be up against Cole Palmer, depending where he plays them. So, you know, yeah. Look, it'll be...
It should be a very entertaining game.
It should be a game. Good game.
I'm expecting it to be, as I said, the way we set up, the way we want to play is quite helpful for you. You know, we're certainly not going to sit there and wait for you to come on to us. So it should be pretty end-to-end. Mm.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Brighton held to a draw at the weekend. Let's see how that plays with our next guest, the Daily Star, our TV previewer, Brighton and Hove Albion fan Mike Ward. Good afternoon, Mike.
Afternoon, guys. It plays with a bit of a sigh.
Oh, okay, fair.
But you know, I just think we're... Can you hear that dog barking?
Yeah.
Is that in your house or next?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You don't want to know. But yes, I just think we've got... It's just one of those periods where people have sort of sussed us a wee bit, and as often happens. And
a lot of injuries.
Yeah. You've obviously got the European commitments as well and those issues. But, you know, we'll be fine.
I've not watched this. I mean, I've not had a chance to. I don't know. But this is some old lost episodes of Dad's Army.
Yes, absolutely.
They've brought some old episodes back to life with Kevin McNally and a kind of cast, if you like, playing the main parts. But this is an animation, which is an interesting take.
Yeah, it's quite strange. This is on Gold. I think there's five episodes they found, and they just got the audio. So the audio is intact, but as often happened with old TV programmes long ago... The video element of it was destroyed. This is a very old one because it is about Private Walker, who sadly was played by
James, what was his surname?
Disrespectful. Great research on my part that I've noted his name. Anyway, so basically these are episodes which they've added a cut. It's a bit weird because, as you say, they've tried to do little things with Dad's Army since in recent times. They had the film version
James
as
Beck.
Well. James Beck, of course.
Paul McCartney, Ringo Starr. on the music, doing the music.
Their version of it. Yeah.
I just think, I'll be honest, I find that it's clever, but it's sort of distracting. I'd rather just shut my eyes and listen to the audio and imagine, you know, Arthur Lowe and John LeMessurier, etc., performing. Because when you're watching the cartoon, it's quite sort of jerky. It's quite an old-fashioned, fairly basic animation by sort of modern standards. So I sort of think it's an interesting sort of academic exercise rather than necessarily something that you're going to be sort of, avidly tuning into. But it's interesting to watch.
Anyway. Hard Man could have done it. It would take about 3 years an episode.
Yeah, it's plasticine. plasticine Pike.
Yeah, you sort of almost need to go down that route to sort of give it something completely different.
I've often wondered why they've not given the kind of Aardman approach to Gogglebox, but of course that was Creature Comforts, effectively, wasn't it?
It effectively
which
was,
we kind
yes.
of begat Gogglebox. Anyway, this feels like a programme from a long time ago.
Yeah.
Wife on Strike,
yeah.
Channel 4, 9 p.m.
Channel 5,
tonight.
Channel 5.
Yeah.
It's basically a sort of a reality show, for want of a better expression, where each week we meet two families where one person, it's predominantly the wife, I think in future episodes it won't necessarily be, but one person does like 99.9% of all the domestic chores and they decide, I've had enough. So it's all a bit sort of hammed up and they walk out. Yeah. And they go and get put up in a hotel where they watch their husband inevitably making a right hash of everything.
Wow.
Doesn't know how to run the washer. It feels like something you did about the same time as sort of wife swap and all that kind of thing, doesn't it? You know, I watch it and think, oh, I can get where you're coming from, but everybody's hamming it up big time. You know, the husband is encouraged to just be as hopeless as possible and doesn't know how to.
Ellie
and I have been in a situation where you have to go and pitch ideas to TV companies back in the past, and you have two or three ones that you think are quite good, and you have one at the end. If it's nothing else is working, you've got this one at the end which you know is a dog with fleas, but you think you might as well have a punt. You're sitting there.
Yeah,
I'm guessing that's Wife on Strike in that particular meeting with Channel 5.
But it's quite
tiring.
And
that's the one they probably come out and they go, I can't believe they like Wife on Strike. We didn't give that a prayer. Not a prayer.
It's true.
Don't look a gift horse in the mouth. Yeah. Louis Theroux interviews.
Yeah, new six parts. I think this is the second set of straightforward, just sort of face-to-face, one-to-one interviews that he's done. Starting off tomorrow night, this is BBC Two, 9 o'clock, with Anthony Joshua.
Mm.
So it's an interesting one, because obviously Anthony Joshua's got a sort of charm to him that comes across quite well when he's in the situation with somebody like Louis Theroux, and there's lots of laughs and they have quite a lot of fun, and he does a little joke about how he could set Louis up a fight if he wanted, and you know, and how he'd cope in the ring and that kind of thing. But then obviously it gets on to the more sensitive stuff about, you know, Joshua's, you know, recent troubles, etc., and struggle. And you could tell that it's getting a little, it doesn't get heated or angry, but it gets a little bit awkward. And
so are these just chats? Are they just sort of sit and chat, or is
it's
like
a chat? Not entirely. Okay. This is filmed earlier in the year, as he's getting ready to face Jermaine Franklin. So he's talking about how things haven't gone so well recently, and then he goes off and he's there on the night of the fight, sort of hovering around in that slightly awkward way that Louis Theroux does when people are getting on with their jobs, and has a brief chat with him afterwards, and then I think they talk again back at the gym. So it's sort of a little bit of on the spot and a lot of face-to-face stuff.
Okay, well, we're going to check that out. So this is Anthony Joshua, BBC Two, 9 p.m. Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay, what are the other standouts?
Secret Genius of Modern Life. Hannah Fry's good. I quite like these programmes. They're quite...
I love this programme, Each week she takes something that's sort of techie, but every day. Mm. So, for instance, in the first series, she did things like, you know, the credit card.
Credit
and obviously
card,
stuff like that. And electric cars. Not electric cars for me, I don't have one. But, you know, it's things that are becoming part of our life without us really thinking twice about it. This week, she starts off this new series slightly surprisingly with a passport, which strikes me as quite a mundane thing. And then she sort of looks at how the modern day passport is actually full of all this high tech wizardry that we don't even know about, like the holograms. When you open it up and you sort of see the holograms that are sort of shining, biometric chips to identify us, or the things that where you sort of stand at the electric gate and then it won't let you through for half an hour, invisible ink. And something to do with plastic, I don't really understand. So I don't really get half the stuff she's going on about, if I'm perfectly honest, but there's sort of something intriguing about it. And I quite like programmes where it's going slightly over my head, whereas rather than being spoken to as if I'm a 12-year-old the whole time. So it's, from that point of view, it makes you want to sort of learn more.
Another series of Inside the Tower of London.
There's more stuff going on.
I mean, this has been so much better in 1605, wouldn't it? Guy and his friends had a Guy Fawkes night to forget. Yeah. Now they're in the town, they're going to be hung, drawn and quartered.
Do you know what? The funny thing is, also, you know how they stretch these things out, as we've talked, I'm sure we've talked before about things like Ice Road Truckers, where it's one basic idea and you think, well, that'll make a couple of episodes. And it goes on for about 5 years.
Yeah.
This is a great example of this, because after the death of the Queen, they obviously had to change all the monograms, the royal ciphers, from E to R to C3R. Last week, there was a whole thing about them having to do that on the ceremonial weaponry. You think, okay, we've ticked that one off. Now what?
Yes.
And this week, it's all about doing exactly the same thing, but this time it's on the uniforms.
Wow.
So you think, oh, what, next week, is it going to be on their buttons next week and on their shoe buckles the week after? We get it, you know, we're changing them. But at the same time, it's quite charming and, you know, it saves you the entrance fee of having to go and see it because you can see where everything goes.
E2R and C3R, I love them in Star Wars.
Yes, absolutely.
In Star Wars, they were very good. Mike, thank you very much. We will catch up with you next week.
Cheers, guys. Take care.
There we are, Mike Ward from the Star there, Mark. You can't for a bit of non-sporting telly if you can squeeze it in amongst all the European football and more.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Here we are. That was this afternoon's show. We reconvene tomorrow, myself and Charlie. And Andy, you're back on Wednesday.
Yes, I'm not unhappy that I'm not on tomorrow, to be really honest.
You could have been crowing. Who knows what's going to happen tonight? You could be lording it over me going, ah!
You'll know if I come on down the line tomorrow that we've won.
Well, yes. Well, we may not have room for you. I think you're fine.
I think you're right.
But I'm sure you'll keep your powder dry till Wednesday. Anyway, that's us. Thanks for listening. Hopefully you can listen tomorrow. If not, the podcast will be available about 4.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every week day between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com. A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.